That's right.
Yes. The outtakes. For perm. We're going to have the perm outtakes.
Arn is going to do it. Arn will do it this perm.
The rabbi really said, what's he going to do?
He'll do the rabbi's bloopers. When the camera's off, you know, he says, okay.
What the rabbi said when he thought it was on pause.
All right, gentlemen, we're continuing in Hilchos Shabbos. Perek Chof Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 23, Law 12 in the Masnayim text, page 210 and 211. Halachas Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and continuing, I mean, with a little breaks in the middle, is going to discuss the rabbinic things we're not allowed to do lest we transgress the Malacha of writing. But before I forget, and I already almost forgot, there's one more halacha that was relating back to the things that have to be, if things are tameh and taking your kelim to the mikveh and that kind of stuff. So there's one other thing. I don't think the Rambam's going to talk about it. And if he does, then we'll go quicker when we go through it. What if you forgot to separate, a woman forgot to separate challah from her challah? You're supposed to take off
from the dough.
Depends if you're
in Israel or here.
Oh, take off from, oh, you already know everything. So take the fistful off. You know, and then you're allowed to eat the challah.
Right.
What happens if you don't? You bake the challah without taking the fistful off. What are you supposed to do? And more importantly, and you didn't realize it till it's Shabbos.
It's been baked already.
So there's a major problem over here because separating challah, taking off that challah, makes the food now able to eat. So that looks like
a problem that's arisen.
It's the same problem if you didn't toivel. I got it. If you didn't toivel a dish that we got from a non-Jew, can't use the dish till you toivel it. So you can't eat the challah until it's been separated. So what happens? So there's a big difference if you live in Eretz Yisrael or you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, if you bake challah with you bake bread without taking challah, you mamish can't eat it.
Period.
Because in Eretz Yisrael, it's a much stronger status, and separating the challah mamish brings a complete change in the status of the item. It's mamish, a forbidden food now becomes permitted. You're making that kind of change that cannot be done on Shabbos, and even the perception of changing it is rabbinically not allowed. So if you forget to take challah off on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, you can do nothing on Shabbos.
If you don't live there, you're just visiting and you don't do it?
Okay, forget it. We're not. Okay, I don't know.
No, we're asking you. You have been baking.
But you're in Eretz Yisrael and you bake it in Eretz Yisrael. There's no viable solution to forgetting the challah. The baked goods cannot be eaten. The challah cannot be separated on Shabbos.
Done.
There's no choice. You're going to have to go to your neighbor and get some bread, or you're going to have to use cake or whatever. But therefore, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, if you make a mistake, you're in big trouble. But again, in Eretz Yisrael, your neighbors are very friendly. And of course, you go to them, you say, I don't have a challah, and they'll for sure get 20 challahs from your neighbors, so it's not a problem.
Could you use it as a second loaf that you don't eat?
That's a good question.
The problem is eating it, isn't it?
I don't know the answer offhand to that.
Could you eat it? Probably better not, because you might mess up.
No, but you can only get one out there.
Exactly, you can use a frozen challah as a second challah. That I know you can do.
Can you eat it on Sunday or Monday?
No, there's ways to take care of it, but you can't take care of it.
We're going to take a piece after.
Well, what you normally do is just cut off a piece of the challah.
That's
what
after
do you do with that? When it's already
well, then you burn it, whatever.
Burn it.
So normally, if you forget to do it, just take a piece off.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. You bake the challah. If there's a bunch of challahs, you put
so
them all together.
So Friday afternoon, you bake them, you can do
Shabbos
it.
But on Shabbos, you can't because your mom is fixing
it.
Your mom is fixing it.
Now, if you live outside of the land,
but there is another way out. And this is called, you know, leaving what has to be removed for the end. And that you could do outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Save the best for
okay, you're not allowed to separate, but you can eat the part that has not been fixed. In other words, what do we got? You got a whole piece of challah. What you got to do is take off the challah, and the other part is repaired, as it were, becomes permitted. So in Chutz Laaretz, you're allowed to eat the rest of the challah on sort of the condition that you'll make what's left become the challah at the end. It'll retroactively be your challah.
You eat,
you leave a little bit more of the exias, and says, that part after Shabbos, I'm going to designate as the challah on the whole challah.
You have to burn it? Mm-hmm.
As a separated portion.
Yes, that you can do on chutzlars. You cannot do that in Eretz Yisrael.
What do you do with that piece?
Then you'll dispose of it. So that's what happens. So therefore, you can eat almost all of the challah in that batch. Hmm. Just make sure to leave a small amount, more than a ksayas, for the purpose of separating challah after Shabbos. And let's say you finish that batch, then you go to the next batch. And you'll leave a small amount from that batch until after Shabbos. After Shabbos, that ksayas from the remaining bread is separated for the mitzvah of challah, but you don't make a brach on it because it's not looking like you're really separating it, and therefore, and you just dispose of it as you would do regular challah, and that would be your challah. So that's in chutzlars is your option. That's a big savior. Yeah. That can get you off to the hook.
Save
right?
A lot of embarrassment.
Now, let's say one other example. If, let's say, the woman lit the candles early, and then she remembered she didn't separate the challah, so she could ask another Jew who had not yet accepted the Shabbos, let's say a daughter or a husband, to separate, cut off some of the challah, right? But again, she cannot make the bracha.
That can happen in Israel.
But you can't ask a non-Jew to do this. You could not ask a non-Jew to do this because you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something you're not allowed to do. All right, so that would not be allowed.
Wait a second, you can ask a non-Jew to do it.
Well,
it's not Shabbos yet.
No. I'm sorry, I didn't add. I said, and if it would be Shabbos, I forgot to add a clause. If Shabbos already came,
now you
can't ask anybody, then you can't have a non-Jew. Right, I'm sorry, right. I didn't add that part.
But wouldn't it, but if for you lit the candles early and the only person around is a non-Jew,
then
they're doing it for you.
But if it's not Shabbos, it's still
because
okay.
It's
not really Shabbos.
Even though you made for
doesn't
yourself.
Matter. It's not really okay. Shabbos.
So until three stars, you can ask a non-Jew to do something for you because...
There's certain leniencies. But anyway, so that's the challah situation. I don't think the Rambam's going to talk about it, and it's the only time we're going to get it in. It's too complicated. The Torah says when you come to the land of Israel, you separate the challah. That's when the real full force of the mitzvah is there.
Now the question is now that there's more than half the Jews living there, it's Israel.
Some people say everything.
Yes. Okay. Let's. Yes.
Is it the female that does the baraka after candle lighting to cut the challah?
No. Not the male. The man always makes the baraka.
Female
only makes the baraka when she separates challah at the right time.
She's making it at the right time.
Okay. Now with that little break, in the action. We're going to now get into writing and all the issues related to writing, and we make sure that we don't by mistake write. Yud Beis. Koisev, writing may avas melachos is one of the 39 prohibited activities. Lefikach, therefore, there's a number of things you cannot do that could lead to it or looks like it, etc., etc. Number one, again, I'm not an expert at this. Aser lichachol bapuch. You can't dye. The woman can't use certain powders, dyeing it in a way like to make a circle around the eyes. Whatever, make like a circle around the eyes, whatever that is, because that looks like ukiyotzebol, and some of that, we're not talking about just putting powder on, which is different malachas.
So these are pens. These are like
maybe
mascara
the pen.
Pens.
Okay, maybe a mascara
that
pen.
That really looks like writing.
And you're making a line here, and place a line here. I don't know what lines they're making. But anyway,
mipnei
shehu kikosev. It's like writing. Okay, so it's like you would take a quill and just make a circle around the person there, right? So that is writing. Okay, what else can't you do? Now we get to much more. Now I want to do the next three halachas with just fast, and then we'll go and look inside and find out the exact halachas here. Okay, for us or lilvos or lahavos, you can't lend and you can't borrow anything on Shabbos. Gzera, why? Shema Yichtov. Maybe you'll write it down. Right? You lend somebody, a chalas. Right?
Eggs.
You lend them chalas. Eggs are probably boiled eggs. You lend somebody something, and you would write, normally you'd write it down to remember. So we don't lend or borrow because someone may write it down on Shabbos. So liknos v'limkor. You can't buy and sell. The only reason you can't buy and sell is a rabbinic decree. Because really, what's wrong? You go into my store, here, you take you take a pound of cheese and walk out of the cheese, buy it on credit, and you'll pay me when you come back. Why couldn't you do it? There's nothing inherently usur in doing that. Problem is, how am I going to remember? You're going to have 50 customers come in on Shabbos to do this. You're going to write it down. It's a good chance you're going to write it down. And that's a problem.
There's an Arab in the old city who has a makolet, a variety store, and I was staying in someone's house there, and he would go, and other Jews would go in on Friday night. If they needed paper plates or extra things, they would take it, say hello to the guy, leave, and the Arab guy would write it down. And
well, that's because the Arab.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. I mean, the that applied generally? Yeah, like, I mean, if it's a Goyish person running the store, so you're not going to write it down, he is.
That could be a mitigating circumstance there, but there would be other issues we'd have to deal with, such as Maris Ayin. There's nothing not shut. Let's say you ran out of Kugel.
I remember
Kugel.
They did.
Right? You ran out of Kugel. So now, you know, and the guy is selling, you know, go to Sobeys, you know, and you want to go, let's say you go in the
or
back
package
door. Go in the back door, and you go to the back, you know, by the deli, you know, and you take a Kugel. I mean, what's wrong with that? I need Kugel for Shabbos. So, you know, that might be allowed. If you went through the back door when it was closed and nobody sees you going in there, you're taking the kugel and you pay back later.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do that. What would be wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with that. But generally speaking, you know, when you're doing it more in a more casual way, you're gonna write it down. That'd be a problem. V'chein asur liknos v'limkor, and so, oh, that I said it already. V'liskor lahaskin, you can't rent, can't be the rentor or the rentee. All these are gzer, the decree is why? Shema yichto. Maybe you're going to write it down. Next. Well, yiskar adam po'alim b'shabbos. Person should not hire out workers on Shabbos. Even though it's not, let's say, even not for working on Shabbos. Right? That wouldn't be the issue, but you know, you're doing some kind of deals over here. Well, yamar l'chaver l'yiskar l'pav. You shouldn't tell your friend to rent you workers either. Aval, but what can be done is, we'll see, lishol ulahashil mutar. Borrowing and lending. Now, of course, we just said before, so we're going to have to see, we're going to look in the halacha, the difference between the expression of lish'ol and lilvos.
Sounds like a money.
So we're going to have to say, because in other words, we will see, there's what we call short-term loans and long-term loans. The Hebrew word she'ela, lahash'il, to lend, is usually for a short period of time.
You
lend it for a day or two. You're not going to write things that are for a day or two. You're just going to remember that. But if you're a halva, which is a loan, you hear the difference between borrowing and a loan?
Yeah.
Even though you're really doing the same thing. You're borrowing money.
It's the length of time.
But a loan is usually money for a long period of time. Borrowing something is usually a short period of time. So say, you know, lend me $10,000, I'll pay you back in a year. You know, you would want to write that down. Right? I want to borrow a quart of milk. Right?
Okay. I'll give you back tomorrow.
You know, you're probably going to beg back in the next 2-3 days, so we're not going to borrow. So, you know, the English words may be the same. Although really one would be borrow, one would be loaning. I think it'll be the English words here. So be careful in how you express what you're doing would make a difference, and we should be concerned if you would write or not.
But in the English here on the second one, it says borrow or lend in brackets objects.
Okay. So that's objects as opposed to, okay, lending, which would be money.
Right.
Okay. Next, shoyal adam echavero kada yain v'kada shemen. A person can borrow from his friend pitchers of wine and pitchers of oil. Ubelvach liyomer lo halveni, but don't say the word halveni, which means loan me. Loan me a pitcher of oil, because that has the connotations of a long-term loan, even though that is not the case. All right, let's just get here. I want to do two more halachas, and then we will look into all the halachas here. Echad hamoicher bepet, doesn't matter if you sell something verbally. Okay, you say, you're just verbalizing it. You're saying, we made up the deal. We didn't say anything. We just made a deal. Okay, I'm gonna get from you this, and you're gonna get this, and I'm gonna give you this, and that's all. You verbalize it. Even though you didn't actually do anything. Obemisira, or you actually gave it over. Usser, you can't do any of these things. Again, you will all write these things. Vasser lishkol, you can't weigh things. With actual weights or not with actual weights. I guess you would write down the weight or whatever. Just like you can't weigh. You can't measure, you can't number and count and measure. things that are sold that way. Bein b'kli mito, bein b'yad, bein b'chel. Doesn't matter if it's special instruments for this, or whether it's with your hand, or with a rope. Anyways, with numbers, measurements, because all things are apt to be written down, and that's, we don't want to get into this. As well, Yudalad. Ain't done in b'Shabbos. We don't adjudicate cases, court cases, Jewish court cases in Shabbos. Why not? Because usually the judges will write down the psak halacha. They'll write down, today we decided this and this law. Usually that's what you do when you finish a court case. V'locholtzin, you don't give a chalitza. Chalitza is when a woman has to fall to liberate marriage, and for whatever reason, it's not going to happen. So she has to take off the shoe of the brother, and when you do that, spit on the ground in front of his face, and therefore, and afterwards, a document is written up, a shtar chalitza, that now says she can marry someone else. So we're afraid the bezel will write that shtar. Similarly, v'lov miyabmin, and even doing the mitzvah of yibum, where the brother indeed marries the sister when that's possible, there would be a shtar ksiva, ksuva. You'd write a ksuva for the yibum. And I will say the most obvious, v'lov makachim, you can't get married.
Yeah.
Can't make a kiddushin on Shabbos. Because again, you're going to write the ksuva. You're going to write the shtar erisin, all these documents that are necessary to go with a marriage. Gzeras, the decree is shemayichto, lest you will write. Similarly, vein makdishin, you're not allowed to make things holy. You don't want to give something to the Beis Hamikdash. I want to give this to Hashem. Or v'lo marichin, or we don't give the value of ourselves. This is in the end of... In B'chukos, it talks about, you have erchens. I want to give to the Beis Hamikdash the value of my life, what I'm worth, right? That's called erchen. It's a donation to the Beis Hamikdash. V'lo machrimim, and you don't put things in cherem, meaning to say gifts to the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. Say, this animal is for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. All these things, you know why you can't do it? Because really there's a transfer of ownership going on here. So it's not really that different than buying and selling. It looks just like buying and selling. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that maybe you'll come to buying and selling, because that's already a decree. Don't make a decree upon a decree. But it looks very much like it. It's equal to it. And the problem is mostly what? You will even write that down.
Yeah.
You know, it's not buying and selling, but you're going to do the same thing that happens with buying and selling. You're going to write down, okay, I gave $150 worth of me to the base of mix, but write it down so I don't forget this and that. You may write anything where there are transactions of some nature taking place that can very well be written down. Therefore, you can't do that. So again, she said, "Doma lamaktis osam perishifris." I skipped the line. It's like mekel memker. Vein makbi in truma zemeiser. You don't give truma and meiser. You don't separate the tithes. She said, "Doma lamaktis." It's just like making things holy. Makti show some perishifris. It's like you're making fruits holy to the base of Mingish. It's the same thing. And more than that, and the secondary reason, which he already said before, it's like you're making them edible now, because you can't eat them until you do this. Vein ma'as is a beima, and you don't give the tithe of the tenth animal. Every tenth animal that is born to you in a year, you have to give it to the kohen. So what do? You have them go through a narrow gateway, and when nine go through, tenth one comes, the tenth one's holy, get them on a separate pile. Now, generally what people do is, you put a little red mark on the head of the tenth one. So you're not going to give this miser of the animals, because why? Because gzera less, the decree is, shema yirsho v'sikra. You will now make a mark with the red dye on it, and that would be writing on Shabbos. Now, what you can do, amongst so many things you can't do, what you can do is, umaktish adam pischo b'Shabbos. You can sanctify your korban Pesach on Shabbos. Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. You have to bring the korban on Shabbos. We know that the korban Pesach pushes away the mitzvah of Shabbos.
We learned that from Hillel.
So therefore, you're allowed to do that. And similarly, and your korban chagiga, the yontif animal offering, Biyom Shabbos, you can do that as well. You can designate it. Why? Shezo mitzvah sayomi. That's the mitzvah of the day. Okay, next. Ukeshem she'ein makdishin. Just like you can't sanctify certain things. Kach ein makachin mechatos. You don't sanctify the waters for the para aduma. In other words, if you put para aduma ash into water and gets filled with that, that act of putting the ashes of the para aduma into the water is called kiddush. is sanctifying the water. That water was normal drinking water. Now all of a sudden you take ashes from the Por Aduma and put it into the water, you have now elevated its status and is now sanctified for the base of Migdash. And similarly, and that water is called the Mei Chatos. It's the water of the sin offering, meaning to say that you sprinkle on, and those are holy waters, and therefore you're transforming what that is. So it's again like making something holy to the Beis HaMikdash, which you cannot do. Okay, now let's start doing a few halachas as they are relevant. What do I have over here? What page numbers did I write? Oh, 15, yeah. Okay. So the first thing is, again, borrowing for a long term, right, is not allowed. It's not allowed. And and therefore the rabbis said certain terms are not allowed to be said. For example, halveni. Halveni, the way they translate is lend me. Because we're afraid, you know, again, when you're lending things like that, you would write them down. On the other hand, if you say hashileni, which is another way of lending, but again, the difference is halveni connotes a long day, loan of at least 30 days. Well, hashileni is something that is a much shorter time. So rabbis were worried, you know, the types of requests that you make. So therefore, you know, there's different nuances. Hebrew is halveni hashileni. The English language is a little bit of a different language. So in language, you know, the expression lend me can be refer either to a long-term loan or a short-term loan. So you got to use expressions that, you know, that are used only for short-term loans. So therefore, the only permissible language that one can use when you're borrowing commodities on Shabbos is, you can say please or not, that's optional. Please, please give me. Give me. So that indicates you want to borrow the item and not to keep it. Or better yet, you could say, please give this item to use and I will return it.
Or may I borrow this item?
Okay, or I will give it back. But you should not say, though, I will repay it. Because repay seems more like a loan and long term. Mm. So in the English language, you want to use the term return, right? Repay. So nowadays the custom for English speaking people, when you borrow on Shabbos, is lend me. That's the custom. You can say lend me, and the post can justify by saying that since nowadays it's common to make written records only for monetary loans. But when's the last time somebody writes something for borrowing food, right, or utensils? Since we don't do that anymore, when's the last time you saw somebody write it down? We don't do it. So therefore, now it's a good Shiloh. He doesn't discuss this at all in the Sefer. How about borrowing a book from the library?
Okay.
Yeah. Or for a friend.
You know. So it depends. I looked at my drawer today. I was cleaning up my drawer and I said, well, there are two books I made people write months ago. They borrowed books from the library. When they asked me, I said, well, is that real? Write your name on the card. So I have to find out if they talk ever gave them back. But, it's a good Shiloh. Could you borrow a book if the normal process is to write your name in there? That could be a problem. Now, interestingly, just as the rabbis forbid long-term borrowing on Shabbos, guess what else they didn't allow? Repaying something that was borrowed for a long term.
Yeah, you write that down.
Can't even give that back because the lender now might erase the written record of the loan or whatever else he's going to do. So how could he return an item that he borrowed for a long time? If the lender needs it for Shabbos, number one, and the borrower does not use those magic negative words, I am repaying you. Rather, it's to say, I'm returning the item. Okay? So in a case where the lender needs the item on Shabbos, so then, the rabbis relied upon this usage of I'm returning, so it's a reminder to the lender not to erase the record of the loan on Shabbos. Interesting.
What would be an example of that? Like a long-term
I don't know. Something you really borrowed for a long time. I don't know. Let's say a carriage, a baby item.
Yeah.
That could be something.
Car seats.
You know, you're going to use until the baby grows out of it.
For 6 months.
You can have it for a year.
Right.
And then the other person needs it back because they just had a baby.
Stroller.
Okay.
Stroller.
But those are not short-term. You just don't borrow a stroller. I mean, generally speaking, you're not going to buy a stroller for a day. You know?
Or a crib. Crib you don't borrow for a day.
Right.
You can borrow a crib for two years.
It's not something you would really return on Shabbos.
Well, yes.
Stroller you could borrow for
You never get around to returning it, so he says, listen, I'm...
The
want to get around for that. Okay, so similarly, right? Therefore, what is also not allowed, you can't buy or sell or rent or lease, and also, we'll have to discuss more, you can't give gifts on Shabbos, because there's the transfer of ownership has the nature of a transaction.
You can't give gifts.
We're going to discuss that. Yeah. Some of the poskim say you're not allowed to make something hefker. Yeah. You know, Bedavka is saying, I'm making this hefker, I'm relinquishing ownership. Because there's also a transfer of ownership. It's not mine anymore. It may not be anybody else's, right, but it's a transfer. Anything that when ownership transfers, they don't allow that. Right? So now, you can't do buying and selling. They say even for the sake of a mitzvah, let's say Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, can you sell your chametz?
You gotta do it before.
Right? So that you can't do. Similarly, you can't do a pidyon haben on Shabbos. Because there's also, there's buying and selling. You're buying your kid back. Can't do a pinyon ben on Shabbos, right? So now, so this prohibition, you know, pertains even to items that you need on Shabbos, l'chayra. But there is a permissible method of obtaining from, here is what we talked about, from a store, if you need on Shabbos. Yeah, this would be the fine conditions to go into the store on Shabbos. Now, I guess we're not going to do that with Sobeys, unless you're really good buddies with him, but maybe in an Israeli makolas you can do that, or if you know.
They can't be Jewish, can they?
No, it doesn't mean being Jewish. It doesn't matter.
I thought they were going to write it down.
Well, we'll see. So number one, you cannot mention any expression commonly associated with buying or selling. You know? So.
How much is...
You know? You know? Just do that. You know what I mean? Right?
Google,
and you can't mention any mention of payments.
Google.
Right? So you can't do any expression commonly associated... This means that you can't mention, you know, that you need a product of a certain value or weight, because usually value or weight then says, yeah, 39 cents a pound. Oops, you know, that really is like buying and selling kind of talk. So you can't say, for example, give me $5 worth of candy, right? Mm. Or please give me a pound of nuts, because those are expressions that are usually used related to a sale, right? The mention of any weight is forbidden, even if the item was prepackaged according to weight. So you can't say, give me a 1 pound box of chocolates. Right? You gotta say, please give me that box of chocolates. Right? That's what you could say. So, what if you need a large volume of a certain item? So, the proper way to request is to mention the exact number that one needs. So, for example, you should say, please give me 10 apples. Please give me 2 clusters of grapes, avoiding any mention of the value or the weight. That usually you don't sell it by clusters. You don't sell it by items. You sell it by weight or this. So if you're not using those terms, you could do that.
Sometimes. I mean, cucumbers now, that's so one thing. Each.
So it's like a shinui.
Usually not.
It's a shinui on speech.
Right. And you're not yet. So, and number two is you can't make any mention of payment. And you can't say, you know, I'll pay for this after Shabbos. You're allowed to say this, I will come to terms with you after Shabbos. So give me that box of chocolate, and I will come to terms with you after Shabbos. You never talk that way during the week. Never. I'll never let you go down to the store with that kind of talk. You say, okay, I'll pay you back in a week. That's the kind of talk you make, so you can use that.
If you walk into a luncheon, a prepaid luncheon on Shabbos, you didn't pay.
Oh, well, that's different. You don't have to say anything.
No, you didn't pay. They want to know that you're going to pay. You're going to settle up.
So
with afterwards.
I'll come to terms with. First of all, no one's going to let you in. You have to pay in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember years ago, I visited my mother, Lev Shalom, in Florida. She was in one of these hotels, you know, hotels. So there was having Friday night dinner in the hotel. Yeah. So we had to pay in advance, and they put your name on the list, and you walk in, and you say Mahalowitz family, and they let you in. So there's no buying and selling at all. They're giving you they're very nice to give you a meal.
Show up, and they have rachmunas on you.
Okay, so I'll come to terms with you after Shabbos. They can't say, no, you're willing to pay $40 for the meal? I'll come to terms with you after Shabbos. Right?
I said.
Yes. So now, when these conditions, two conditions are met, that you're not using the expression of buying and selling, right? And also you're not talking about any repayment, right? So therefore, you're permitted to take these items. However, this only applies to items you need for Shabbos, number one. And number two, it goes without saying the storekeeper can't open the store in the way he normally does regular business. okay, on a regular day, but merely, but he can enter it to give the client the items for Shabbos use only. So for
that sounds right, like one.
Right, but it can't be like you normally open up a store, right? You know, you've got, oh, the store's open. Everybody can come in. It can't be that way. Can't do it that way. It's got to be differently. So give an example. Let's say in a camp, you have the canteen, right? The food concession, right? So the camper can approach the manager of the food's concession and say, please let me have a large bottle of soda and 3 pieces of candy today, and I will come to terms with you after Shabbos. Right? Right.
So this is a big thing for camp. This is really big at camp.
Yeah.
The canteen, yeah. Camp. This
but I'm saying, if you, let's say, but really, but if it was a real Jewish store, you know, the guy obviously can't open the front door and turn the thing and say open and stand by the cash register and, you know, but if you go in, let's say, the back door, it's okay, come with me in the back door, the lights are off, I'll just take
Don't
you to the store and I'll give you what you need and we'll come to terms with it after Shabbos, then that's 100% allowed. You can do that on Shabbos because the act of buying and selling is only rabbinic. If you take off the rabbinic problem, it's not a problem. Next, tomorrow is Wednesday. Yes, tomorrow we will get into gift giving and what is the fashions that you are allowed to give gifts. Give.